Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Let's Hang Out. I'm Ellie Brigida.
And I'm Lee Holmes Foster, and here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise, and we want to remind you all that the flame is coming to a stage near you. September 15th at 54 Below, we'll be having a live concert. We are so excited. Lee and I the other day actually went through all the music to make sure that our timing was correct for it. And pretty much most of the songs are going to be performed live, which is really exciting. We only had to cut like one. So you're going to get a lot. A lot
of songs. It's going to be a blast. In the Greater Les universe, let's talk about Lightyear.
Yeah, so
is
I found
that what
this.
We're
yeah,
about?
So I haven't seen Lightyear. I will say sorry.
I haven't either.
But there's this article, and the title just says Lightyear underperforms on first weekend. Lesbian kiss to blame, and I feel like there's a lot to unpack
during Pride Month.
Yeah, right.
Really?
There is a lot to unpack there though, because remember they took the lesbian kiss out.
Yeah.
They put it back in, and
yep.
To be fair, I think probably it is to blame, which is fucked up. I bet you people are boycotting the movie and not bringing their kids because of the lesbian kiss.
I can't believe that during Pride Month we have to, put up with such slander. Just
I know.
Disappointing.
It also is just like, that sucks, because of course it's like just proving to Disney like, hey, we were right. We should have cut it. But it's like, you never know. Like, what if cut it and it still sucked? Like, maybe the movie just sucks.
But like, I know. And like, because that's the problem is I'm like, oh, we should support it. But also, I don't want to have to watch Lightyear. So,
yeah, like I also feel like lesbian. But it's also like, it's funny because like lesbians are not the target audience of Lightyear.
Right.
Right. So you threw a lesbian kiss in a movie that's like not actually like, I don't really care to watch it. So like you're putting it in a lesbian kiss in a movie that's basically like for like men.
Great.
Right. Like I'm like, my brother loved Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my brother would probably still watch it. Obviously, he's cool with the gays, but I don't think he's like, wow, I really wish that there was lesbian rep in the movie Lightyear. That's that.
You don't know. Let's call Joe up and ask him.
Yeah. I mean, he is very supportive, but still. Also in the Greater Les universe, more positive news. Motherland Fort Salem is back for season 3. We are so excited. Disappointed that it won't be our last season, but let's just enjoy it. Let's enjoy this last ride with all of our favorite witches.
I know. I haven't watched the first episode yet. I'm
I haven't either. Honestly, I'm gonna watch it tonight. I'm sure it's gonna be great, as it always is. Lee, do you want to talk about this next part?
Listen, also in the Greater Les universe, we just would like to thank everybody who has been helping get First Kill. Up to, okay, as of us recording this, who knows if that's going to change. Right now, it is number 3 in the Netflix top 10.
Hell yeah.
Which is crazy. Which is just crazy. Like, that is bonkers numbers. Like, it's number 3. Number 1 is Stranger Things season 4.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. And I'm pretty sure that, like, when they posted the numbers or something, like, it's up to, like, a quarter of the views of, like, the fourth season of Stranger Things. Right? Like, think about the difference in how long that show's been around, how big that fandom has gotten. Like, it's, like, up there. That's crazy.
It's coming for you all.
So, good job, gays. We did it. Give us the fucking renewal, Netflix. What are you waiting for?
We also have so many thoughts on First Kill. I think we've said this before. We're going to start releasing Patreon bonus episodes.
Yes.
I'm just saying, we might do a Patreon bonus on First Kill. Maybe it'll be on our feed. Who knows?
Oh my God, we should.
But, like, I feel like it's, like, too...
Well, we don't do Les Essentials until they're finished.
Until the series is done, that, right? So it's
I'm hoping that we'll have a bit until it's done. So, like, it's not going to be for Les Essentials, maybe for a while.
Maybe for a bonus episode.
We are certainly
episode,
working
all.
On getting some other episodes, maybe a bonus episode. Who knows? Listen. But just keep streaming, keep watching, keep getting those numbers up. We're all doing great.
We love lesbian vampires.
We're here for it. That's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee, and welcome to our 87th installment of Shoulda Been Gay.
It was fun, it was great, but it should've been a little more gay.
And in this week's episode, yeah, we lost it all. Nothing lasts forever.
There's on.
Sorry, I can't be perfect.
Lee, I thought you were gonna go with "That Girl Was a Wild Child."
Listen,
come on.
I pulled an audible at the last minute because while I was watching it, I was really digging the Simple Plan throwback in my life. And
also,
I feel like our guest's shirt today inspired me to go more towards the emo side.
Fine.
But you were ready for something else? Do you want to sing it, Ellie?
Oh my God, no. What's the other? We can do more singing later because this song has so much singing in
change
it.
Change it. So change.
Yeah, what the hell was that? Oh God, I love a high school fake musical in a movie, but we have more to talk about. So
first, let's introduce our very exciting guest for this week's episode. We are joined by Hannah Ray Leach, who is a Cleveland-based audio producer, writer, and musician, as well as the co-host of Sleepover Cinema, a podcast that analyzes the films that created the collective unconscious of the girls and gays in the late 90s and early 2000s. And I mean,
welcome.
Wow, welcome, Hannah.
You are our kind of people.
You know, when first of all, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. And when I got when I came to understand what we would be doing today, I was like, oh, this is my daily life and experience. So mm-hmm. I'm ready. I'm so excited.
This is
You know, it's fun having like experts in sometimes. Just like, you know, 87 like, episodes in. Like, yeah, like I feel like we should have the expert in.
Exactly. Like we're experts on the girls and the gays. You're experts mm-hmm. in the girls and the gays. Like here we are. Just a bunch of experts talking at an expert panel.
Absolutely.
You know,
we're basically just all already best friends and I'm here for it.
Yes. I'm so excited for this. So today we're talking about, if no one has caught on yet,
I don't know how the Simple Plan song wouldn't
I
be an
don't
immediate
know how. We're talking about Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
Yes.
Oh my God. Lee, can you please give us this IMDb synopsis? Because I'm bursting to talk
yeah,
about
I'm,
this.
Yeah, I feel like
movie.
You are. I feel like you're like barely holding it together.
I can't.
So, okay, for anyone who's not familiar, the IMDb synopsis for Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen is as follows. A teenage girl is convinced that her home city revolves around her until her family packs up and moves to the suburbs where she finds herself competing for attention.
Oh my God.
Okay. I'm usually we let our guests go first, but like, are you exploding, Ellie? Do you have
okay? So I am, but you know what's hilarious? Like the synopsis is in my body, but I forget the names of the characters. I'm like Lindsay Lohan and Megan Fox.
Lola.
I need to know the characters' names. I know Lola, but
and then
okay. Oh my God. Okay,
Lola
so Lola,
and Carla.
Carla and Ella, right? Those are the main people yeah. who are important mm-hmm. here.
A lot of Las. They had like a theme going.
So, teenage New Yorker. Mary, chosen name Lola, moves from the gay city to the conservative suburbs and finds that the two other gay girls there, Ella and Carla, and spends her entire time like fighting her feelings for both of them by replacing them with completely
mediocre men and disappointing men. That's my synopsis.
What about you, Hannah? If you had to give a gay synopsis for this movie, what's your gay synopsis?
Okay, so mine is kind of, it's a little bit of a take because it's not, okay, this is in a world where I've reinvented it or reconcepted it as being about Ella because she's my favorite. Mm. So this is what I had. I think it's still true. Okay. Baby Ella is closeted in Delwood, New Jersey until her sparkly new friend Lola comes along and shows her that being different is okay. And she falls in love with her along the way, but will she work up the nerve to tell her?
I love it. Poor Ella. Listen, because I also, my gay synopsis actually focused on Ella because, I mean, I just don't see how you can't. Sorry, Lola. I know she likes being the center of attention. But my gay synopsis for this movie is young, anxious lesbian Ella Gerard just wants one time to be enough for her big city girlfriend Lola in this unhinged teenage comedy.
Yes.
Yes.
Ella, like, that's the movie Ella, I watched.
Ella's
okay?
really... But to be fair, I feel like their relationship is beautiful in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just are like, these two are in love the whole time.
They really are.
They really are.
They really are. I mean, listen, I know we're going to like talk. We'll talk all mm-hmm. the details, but they so are.
They so
let's,
are.
Let's start with our experience with the movie. So, Hannah, I feel like we should start with you
okay.
this time. Because you, this was like a direct request. And I'll be honest, like, we are, I mean, 87 should have been gays in, like, we get a lot of, you know, like, we're kind of giving suggestions of movies uh-huh. these days to people because we've done a lot of the big hitter. We still have some left, but like mm-hmm. this was like a
one and done,
this is what
perfect
we're doing.
Suggestion.
Yeah, like
yeah.
here's the name, let's
do it.
So tell us a little bit about your experience with this film.
Totally. Okay, so basically, so my sister's name is Audrey, and I'm going to probably mention her a lot. She's my co-host of Sleepover Cinema. And when we started the show, I was like, because there's like a certain genre we're going for. It's like late 90s, early 2000s, teen girl movies, like Disney Channel originals sometimes. And like the very first one I wanted to do was Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen because I just love this movie. I think it's because I'm a Leo and there are some parallels.
Were you a teenage drama queen? Is that what we're...
Yes, but like never... I feel like what Lola does is she like lives out like what, like how you would want to be when you're a teenager, you know, yes. like not how you actually are. And I think that always appealed to me, but I loved it as a kid. The looks lived in my mind forever. The music, Lindsay Lohan. And then when we rewatched it, I was like, oh, this is really gay. And I didn't know.
Yep.
And so when the should have been gay concept came up, I was like, oh, I'm ready. This is the one.
This is it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just the outfits alone.
Yep.
Like the, oh my God, was she wearing like a scally cap and a tie?
It's,
like the DDR
yes,
scene?
So much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's,
what
listen.
Are, like, Lola, you are gay. You are so gay. Oh my God.
The outfits were a lot.
The outfits were... so gay, but they're just gay. Like, that is a gay teenager who's like, I'm gay.
Oh, yeah.
Like yeah. Lola's also a mix between like a gay man and a lesbian too, right? Like, has a
That's...
lot of that like gay man flair.
I thought the exact same thing. Literally the exact same thing. I also wrote down that her wardrobe is almost the fine line between like artsy girl and gay girl in high school,
yes.
especially, which like, this is controversial, so maybe it'll come up later, but I kind of wonder if Lola is like aware of how gay she is or not. That's kind of,
I think
you know,
she knows.
You think so?
I think she knows. I think
okay.
she
I'm sorry.
Knows.
Lola whose first words in the film are practically goodbye Broadway in tears.
Yeah,
she might have a hunch. She
yeah,
might have
yeah,
an
yeah,
idea.
Yeah.
yeah, I feel like all her friends in New York were queer. But
yeah.
Lee, what was your experience with this film?
I had never seen it.
This is the first time.
I,
oh my God, all right.
Yes,
so you have to really dig in. What was your experience the first time watching it as an adult?
It's so crazy. It's so crazy. And honestly, I feel like that's why, it's probably why my gay synopsis like focused more on Ella, because I'm like, Ella, you are like the only like competent human in the bunch here. Like, you are just surrounded by like terrible, overly dramatic people who just don't appreciate you the way that they should, you know? Because Lola's fucking crazy. Like, mm-hmm. bonkers, insane, off the walls, just crazy. Yep. Mm-hmm. Crazy. So there was that piece of it. I feel like if I had watched this, like, you know, back in high school, it would have fit right into a lot of that time and like the Lindsay Lohan heyday and mm-hmm. you know. But yep. I did enjoy watching it, and I enjoyed doing like a deep dive on the cast, because like we're gonna get down some rabbit holes with this one. Yeah. What a crazy movie.
The cast is
is insane. Every turn it just keeps getting gayer on me, and I was like, I'm not prepared for this. So yeah. Anyways, what about you, Ellie?
Oh my god, what's her name? Miss Piccoli. I love her.
Piccoli, yes. Yeah.
So I definitely watched this like a million times when I was a teenager. I also identify with the teenage drama queen in a way.
Mm-hmm. You?
I was a big theater
the,
girl.
The need for attention?
I do constantly? Like attention. You're correct.
Doesn't ring a bell.
When I watched it today, I was like, oh, Lola, like she's really, like when you really think about it, like Ella got burned. Like, mm-hmm. you cannot be lying about one of your parents passing away to mm-hmm. your new friend. Like, that is very...
To your new girlfriend, like, too. Very, like, come on.
Tough, right? But I feel like there's, like, a part of that, like, living in that fantasy world that I like about her, because I feel like it's, like, I would do that, too. Like, it's, like, oh, I'm just, like, making up stories, and, like, they're fun and whatever. But, like... Mm-hmm. Not to the extent that she did it, but like I would like to like play pretend. So like I liked that aspect of it, because I feel like it's relatable, especially for teenagers.
Yeah.
Like this teenager has just moved from like something that was very comfortable to something super uncomfortable, and she's like, how do I deal with it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I like that part of it. I also like the DDR scenes, like burns in my brain. Like when I saw it again, I was like, oh my god, this DDR scene. Because yes. Lee, did you play DDR ever?
Oh, listen, I fucking crushed at DDR. I, as a really cool kid in high school, can I tell you how fucking good it was at DDR?
Yes, please.
Does anyone want to know how popular I was in high school? Very is the
answer.
Well,
if you're the best at DDR, clearly you're the most popular, according to Teenage Drama Queen.
Mm-hmm. Listen, let me tell you the only person who was like clearly cooler than I was in high school is one of the guys I did theater with. And while we talk about like bearding up, this was like the guy that I had the like I'm definitely into boys like crush on when mm-hmm. I was in theater. But he also was in the robotics club, and he built his own arcade style DDR pad.
What? Whoa!
So he was a little cooler than I was, but like I mean, only a little. Did you DDR, Hannah? Was that like a thing?
I tried. I can't do it. I'm a Guitar Hero girl, not a DDR.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. That's legit. What about Rock Band?
Also, Rock Band's pretty good, but the buttons on the guitars are harder to press, so I wasn't as good, mm-hmm. sadly.
It's okay.
I know. We all have a weakness.
Little hands. I have little hands. So.
You're doing your best out here. I also had my own DDR pad at home. Maybe we just had one. I think we only had one, and I remember me and my sister.
We can't play with only one person.
No, me and my sister would, like... I would play and she would watch. And then she would play. Oh. Like, we would have to go back and forth.
See, I feel like the competitive side of me is like, but what's the fun if you don't beat them live in real time?
You could, like, compare your scores or whatever. All right, sorry, Lee. We were too poor to get
Not the same.
Two DDR things. Only one. Like, they were like, we want to get you something nice, but we can't afford two DDR pads. And to be fair, I'm like, this house would not fit two pads next to each other in any of the rooms except the living room. And I feel like my mom was like, do not set up DDR in the living room. So we would practice at home. And then, like, I remember I would go on similar had a beard boyfriend, not bearded. He was very clean shaven. And well,
you're not going to pick one with hair.
Come on.
Facial hair? Unacceptable.
No. And we would go to the movies, and at the movies, there was the DDR. So we'd watch the movie, we'd play DDR, I'd kick his ass, and then I'd be like, yes. And then he broke up with me, but it's fine. He was like, you suck.
Okay, but listen, since we're like diving in on the DDR.
On DDR,
scene,
yeah. How long are we doing this?
Forever. This episode's actually about DDR now. Sorry, everyone. No, was anyone else, every time you watch a scene like that, and especially when it's a scene where it's like two girls with like palpable tension between them, and they're like doing the whole like kind of fake choreographed like weird DDR where you're like, this is not how you play DDR. This is not how, like, does anybody who has written a scene like this in a movie ever played the game? Like, this is not how it works.
And they always turn around.
Yes, they always spin.
Okay, and I'm like, you can't see the screen.
So, what do you have like immediate flashbacks of when that happens?
Imagine Me and You.
Thank you.
Have you seen that movie, Hannah?
No, I don't know what that is.
What?
Oh my God.
That's like, as soon as they started having that conversation and they're doing this like very, I feel like it started out as the same dance too. Like I literally want to go back and compare the choreography and be like, was there, like at this era of time, was there somebody whose job was like on set DDR choreography and they just like peddled the same one dance move to different sets.
They made a fortune in like 2002 and then they never worked again.
It's like a real life Bring It On. You have one choreography, one dance, and you go on every movie set and you teach it to these girls and make them get up there and dance, talk at each other.
Yeah.
They started dancing and I was like, what fucking movie am I watching? Because it's Imagine Me and You. And I was just, I had, you know, I had to like regroup.
Spoiler alert for Hannah. After the Clay DDR and Imagine Me and You, they make out. So, you know.
Yes. That's correct. Good to know.
I wrote it down. I will be educating myself after the fact. Yes,
you should really watch it. It's definitely worth a watch. Okay, so Hannah.
Yes.
Let's dive in to how gay this is. Because I know, I saw from the beginning, you have extensive notes. I can feel it.
Wait,
and
also,
I appreciate
before we do that, can we just, I know we talked about it before we started recording, but can we talk about the necklace that you're wearing?
Oh my God, yes.
I can't handle it and I need our listeners to know.
So I am wearing a Coke bottle necklace in the exact same style of Lola's right now. My sister gave it to me for Christmas this year and it's not a very practical piece of jewelry, but today I was like, it's the day. So I'm wearing it. Yes. Yep. And I'm also wearing a My Chemical Romance t-shirt because I felt like that was as close to Siddhartha as I could get. So here I am.
Like, you're wearing the necklace. Like, Stu Wolf bring that to your house? Like, that's the necklace.
I will say the only difference is hers is, I think it's Diet Coke and this is regular Coke.
Wow.
Because they're silver. I mean, sad.
We'll allow
Not
it.
Exact yeah. replica, but very close.
Yes, very close.
Okay, sorry. I just needed everyone to know that this was happening.
Yes.
Because we're going to get to look at it the whole episode, and no one else will. So I just want to share.
Yeah, thank
you. Now you can tell us how gay this movie is.
Okay. I don't even really know. I feel like every time I watch it, I fixate on Ella so much, and I can't even really explain why. Mm. I think just because it's so, like, undebatable. Like, literally the first thing they say about her is Ella never had a fella. Like,
yes. Well, and also before they say Ella never had a fella, the interaction between Ella and Lola is
hi.
What?
Like, yes.
And having that conversation while Ella's in her little fucking first day of school pantsuit, I'm just like, yep. Oh, honey, I just want to give you a hug.
Yeah.
From the second they meet, they're in love. Like, that's why it's so crazy. It's like, you're like, who just says hi to each other? Also, like, five or six times. Like, you already said hi. It's like that thing that they always try to do in movies with heterosexual relationships where it's like, oh, I have a crush on you, so I'm so awkward. But, like, they're doing it with each other in this very homosexual.
it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yes. It is. Ella never had a fella.
Ella never
had
a fella.
And to be fair, she probably never will. And that's okay. She's happy about it.
Yes. I also, upon this, like viewing was just noting how interesting it was that like they use bonding over completely unattainable like fantasy men as like a mechanism to get close to each other. It's just a vibe.
Yes.
It's so relatable.
That is their entire thing is like, that's why I said about like the gay synopsis where it's like, what is gayer than Lola fantasizing about this man that she will clearly never have? Like, It's like, oh yeah, I'm totally straight. I like, oh, everyone thinks that guy's hot, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the guy I love.
Yep.
Yeah. And then she realizes at the end, like, I feel like it is. She's like, fantasy of men. And then she's like, oh, I really don't like men when she finally meets him.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I thought I liked men and I don't.
Even before she meets him, when she has that whole dream, like the Marilyn Monroe dream sequence dancing with him and he goes in for a kiss and even in her dream he doesn't land it, I was just like, oh, Lola, honey. Like when even in your wildest fantasies your like dream man can't actually like land one, it's just just investigate that thought a little more on your own, you know?
And also, he's like such a symbol of just attention and fame. Like, that's all it is that she's like, I want all the attention and all the fame in the world. And also, I'm gay, but I'm not addressing that currently. You know? Yeah.
She's really pushing a lot down. Yeah. Like, a lot.
She is.
I know we talked about this briefly earlier, but did you take notes on all of her outfits?
Do you remember all
the outfits?
I could probably name most of them.
I wrote down a lot.
Yeah,
I wrote down a lot.
Can we just do an outfit check? Because
yes,
that is a huge thing.
Yes.
So, Lee, what were some of the ones you wrote down?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm pretty sure the first one I wrote down is the first day of school outfit with like the like boho chic like head wrapping and like...
Yep.
I don't know what exactly was going on there. There was a lot happening.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's the tie at the DDR scene. That one got me so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I already skipped one because the moving outfit, the I Heart New York, like Avril
Lavigne. That one's so good.
Yes.
The arms with the, you know, like mesh arms. There's that outfit. Mm-hmm. There's also, I'm sorry. Can we give a special shout out to, I feel like I have to give a little more context to it because the outfit itself is like only slightly unhinged.
The hat.
But the trucker hat outfit, I feel like gets its own special shout out because of the situation that they're in, which is it's like the first time that she goes over to Ella's house, right?
Yeah.
And they're hanging out and the mom walks in, Ella's mom walks in. And is super like standoffish and weird with Lola. And they have this conversation afterwards where Lola's like, why doesn't your mother like me? And I'm like, you're literally in her daughter's bed in like cargo pants and a trucker hat. Yeah. And like, I don't know, Lola, why wouldn't she like you?
She's like, clearly her mom knows Ella's a lesbian. She's like, shit. She's like, I didn't think she was going to meet a lesbian in this town.
Yes. I mean, like 100%. But also, wait, does she wear the tie at the DDR? Because I thought she was playing DDR in the basketball outfit.
She does. It's in the basketball outfit.
The full, the hat with the jersey and you're like, what is happening?
There is a possibility that there may be like a skinny tie over the jersey. I'm not sure.
Oh, well, I mean, let's not discount that as a valid fashion choice.
I'm not sure. If you're thinking of the tiny tie, it was one of her costumes in the musical at the end.
Yes. Oh my God. What is happening here? I'm just looking up pictures.
There's too many to keep track of.
They're
honestly
so good.
There's like, so many. So
there's
many.
A lot.
Yeah.
Or there's one where she's wearing a choker and like all stripes.
Yes. Yeah. That's her audition outfit. Where she does her little growl when she's singing.
She was so growly.
Oh, I know. It was so good.
There is something to be said for this era of movies that really capitalized on like the Lindsay Lohan, the Mandy Moore, who like would get parts in these movies and then they would make them sing the worst fucking stuff. And just, I mean, like, good for them because they probably made, like, a pretty good deal on that, however that was worked out. But, like, oh, my God. You just watch it and I'm, like, cringing for them on the inside.
There is so much horrible lip syncing in the end, too.
Uh-huh.
I was cracking up. I was like, this is not even close to accurate. She was way off. I was like, is my internet messed up? but that's God. Okay. So what else is super gay about Ella?
Everything. Well, wait, are we done with the outfits? Because I don't know. Oh, sorry.
There's
the
one. Oh, wait. And I realized why I got confused. So there's the one where she has a hat, right? It's mm-hmm. like a, I don't know what the hat is called, but it's like those like bigger hats.
And then, like the, you know what I call it? The Keira Knightley in Love Actually
yes,
kind of hat. Keira,
yes, yeah, that's I know what exactly you mean. What it is.
I know what and you're talking about.
So I thought, I combined them. It was like the hat, the jersey, like they all blur mm-hmm. together in my mind. But I'm looking at this basketball outfit where she has a backwards hat and a yeah. jersey.
Yeah.
Like a full on, like head to toe. She's got like arm, like the sports armbands yeah. going. Like it's a
and
lot.
And there's one where she's with
her hair looks fantastic in that outfit. Yes. Though. I will give her that. Like she's got like a whole like femme look going where she's like, I still got the cool hair. So like, it's okay. I'm like femmy, but in the sports thing, yeah. and you're like, yeah, like give you like 5 years and some self-realization and like lesbians are gonna eat that mm-hmm. shit up. Like,
oh yeah, she has this thing where she's like standing next to the guy. I don't know what this is from, which scene this is from, but she's in like a brown like leather jacket with like fringe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is everything. It's just like, why is she wearing the gayest yeah. outfits? Like yeah. no one else in this film wears those gay outfits, right? Like yeah. Megan no. Fox like is no. not really wearing the no. gay outfits.
Yeah, I wrote down, she's certainly not dressing for men in my notes.
No, literally not.
Dressing for the no. girls and the gays only.
Yes, totally.
Well, and that's, okay, I feel like my first rabbit hole in this has to be that like, so Miss Pegoli, who is played by Carol Kane.
Oh my God, Pegoli.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like what makes me so happy about this is that I feel like most people will know Carol Kane from being in Kimmy Schmidt. And I feel like every outfit Lola wears in this movie, like Titus Andromedon would wear everything mm-hmm. she wears, right? Like unironically, and would look fantastic doing it. And like, so I just feel like there's a nice little crossover yes. here where I'm like, you know what I would love to see is like, I want to see Lola go to like the Camp Met Gala and be like, what would she wear? Because I yes. feel like she'd kill it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Like, I feel like she would crush that. Mm-hmm. Like, and I would want to know. That's all.
I'm like, I just feel like she doesn't care what, like, she cares what people think towards, like, you know, it's her and Ella are such an interesting pair because I feel
yeah.
like they yo-yo almost.
Yo,
like, it's
yeah.
like mm-hmm. they start the film. And Ella meets Lola and she's like, oh, I can feel comfortable being gay because this other girl's gay. And she gains confidence by being with Lola. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like Lola sort of like loses a little bit of her confidence because of the mean girls in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's that moment at the end where like Ella just like slaps her out of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, just like their relationship is so multi-dimensional.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
That
it's really nice.
That monologue literally makes me tear up every time I see it. It's just,
do you have
so,
it? Do you have it written down?
I
the one at the
I
end?
Actually wait, the one where she's like, saying like, you made me feel like it's okay to be different.
Yeah, yeah, I yeah. wrote it down.
Uh-huh. I wrote down, you gave me courage, and now I'm brave enough to be different, a.k.a. gay.
Yeah.
Gay. Yeah.
Well, yeah. okay, a.k.a. gay, but I feel like we need to talk about two things that she says before that.
Yes.
Because, listen, I adore Ella Gerard. I would die for Ella Gerard. I love her so much. And I just feel like I need to take a moment to talk about the two quotes from that speech. The first is, she goes, what about me? I've been miserable until you came to Delwood.
I know.
It's like, ugh, in the yeah. gut, it gets you. And then the other thing is, right before she says that, right before the quote that you just gave, Hannah, she goes, the only thing I could expect when I grew up was a life like my parents. Uh-huh. Then I met you. And I'm like, sweetie, this is such
chills.
A good coming out speech. Like, you're doing so good. Keep it going.
Yeah.
Like, you're almost there. Just like the last little step over the finish line. Mm-hmm. Come on, Ella.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
It really was a good coming out speech.
Yeah.
It's such a good coming out speech.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's a better coming out speech than some actual, coming out speeches that we've seen written in movies. Like, let's be real. That's a great coming out speech.
Yeah. And just, like, Alison Pill just put everything into that performance. It's just so earnest and, like, beautiful to watch.
Well, and can we do a quick Alison Pill rabbit hole as well? Because yes. I feel like Alison Pill, most people might know from playing Kim Pine in Scott Pilgrim, which I'm just going to say gay. I mean, just yes. a gay character. Yeah. So like, we love to see a lot of gay connect. When there are as many, literally every fucking person in this movie, I kept being like, how does this cast keep getting gayer? Mm-hmm. Like, because I kept seeing people and being like, wait, who is that? And then I'm like, oh, right, gay. They're gay.
Yep.
Even, dude, we talked about Ella's parent, like her mom, her parents, and how they're like, why is our daughter gay now? So her mom, Ella's mom, is played by an actress named Sheila McCarthy, who some of our listeners now might recognize as the teeth monster in Astrid and Lily Save the World.
Oh my
just
gosh.
Just throwing that out there. So like.
So many connections.
Just gay connections left and right everywhere you look in this movie.
Everywhere.
It's the gay web is pulling tighter and tighter around it all. Mm-hmm. That's not my last one too. I've got more. Don't worry.
I anxiously await them. I feel like we're bouncing so far around, which is fine. Like we always do this. I want to go to the beginning super quickly.
Yes.
Because I just feel like the premise of the start of this film is gay.
Is gay.
Like, you have a teenager who's so, like, in love with New York City. Like, the way that Lola talks about New York City, I completely understand because I went to college in New York. I came out in New York. I remember that feeling of, like, being a new gay in New York City. Like, there is an electric energy, like, of like everyone around me is gay. Like you just feel it in New York. You just feel it. So I feel like that's a huge reason why she loves New York City.
Yeah.
Like number one, she's a Broadway gay. And number two, she has.
It was just so dramatic. Yeah. Like the way she says it, like, goodbye, Broadway. And I was like, oh, sweetie.
That's my life's dream. I'm gonna be on Broadway. I need to be Eliza Doolittle.
Yeah. Like, you just know she's in the car being like, what if New Jersey doesn't even have a gay bar? Like, yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So she's like, what will I do in this place? Like, I'm in gay heaven and I'm about to go to straight hell, you know? Yeah. Like, that's the entire thing. And then the first 5 minutes, she corrects her mom for using her dead name, which I'm so sorry I used at the beginning. But it is, like, what is queerer than, like, her choosing her own name?
Yeah.
Even.
Yes.
And, like, correcting her mom, like, I'm Lola. I've told you this. And she says, I've known it since I was 5 years old.
Yes. Yes. Like, championing her identity.
Yes.
We love to see it.
Love it. Yeah, and then she goes into straight world, and she's like, well, what am I going to do in straight world?
Okay, well, listen, does she, though?
No,
does
but she doesn't.
Does
she finds her own way to not go
into
straight world.
What's gayer than Delwood, a home of Ella Gerard and Carla what's-her-name? Like, I'm sorry.
Also, so just a side note that I thought was really funny is when I was a kid, I was like, wow, New Jersey. And then I went to college in New York, too, and I was like, New Jersey and New York are not far away.
No. She's fine. Yeah. She is very fine. Yeah, yeah.
Like, they take NJ Transit later in the same movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not that far. But that adds so much flavor to it, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I love like, that about
I,
it.
I Well, I also think it's comical, though, because, like, I feel like people who are from New York are, like, New Jersey's so far. Like, it is also such a New York City thing to be like, oh, Jersey. And you're like, it's 30 minutes. Like, stop it. Like, people drive further, like, to two spots in LA.
Yes.
Then they'll drive from, like, New York to New Jersey.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you're okay. But
like,
she's
not. We'll drive 2 hours to, like, go to Sonoma for, like, a glass of wine and then, like, drive home, you know?
Yeah,
you're
like, can't go.
You could get to Canada. Like, come on.
That's how people live in, I feel like, in the city in general. It's like, you literally live in Brooklyn and you won't go to Queens.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or, like, you, like, are like, well, I live in the Upper West Side, so like never see you again, Brooklyn friends.
Yeah, like yeah, yeah, like you're like in me Manhattan trying to get to Cambridge when we lived in Brookline. It's just never gonna happen.
Never.
You know, it's a different universe.
Whole different universe, especially for Lola.
Jersey.
Totally.
Oh, you can tell it is. That's what I think is so funny about it is it's like it's also just thinly disguised. Like this is like norm town, right? Like you can tell that she's like, I refuse to fit in here. Like I will be different. I will march to the beat of my own gay drum.
I know, and she's like
nobody in New Jersey's gonna stop me.
And to be fair, like they don't really.
Like no.
No. They're like, okay, be the lead in the play. Like, fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay.
And like,
okay, wait, get a girlfriend. Like,
yeah. Like, instant girlfriend, instant lead in the show. And also, like, in the beginning when she rides in on her bike and everyone just like looks at her, but not even in like a shady way, just in like a, oh my God, like, who is she kind of way?
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be a struggle. Is the impression.
No, no.
And here's my other thing about this movie, because this is where I really think this movie is hard, watching it for the first time as like a grown adult, as opposed to like a 15-year-old, is I get that like they made Carla, like they tried to make her as terrible as they could. But I'm like, I feel like I kind of just feel bad for Carla a little bit in this movie. Like Carla does not here's how I have like headcanoned this movie happening in my head is like Carla is also gay but like not quite ready to take that step yet and has a huge crush on Ella, and so she's like very much projecting when she's like you don't want to hang out with Ella, like you know, trying to like warn her off, and I feel like she's just jealous, and so then instead she watches Lola show up at her school, like become the new hot it girl, like talk of the town, steals her girlfriend, takes her lead in the show, like just like
you're right,
left
she's
and...
the protagonist.
Yes, yes. Like left and right just has everything like ripped
falls
away
in a fountain.
From her because falls in a fountain because she just like isn't quite confident enough with herself and her sexuality to like take those steps yet, and so she's just watching someone else do it like from the sidelines, and I was like, Carla, like college has better things in store for you, you know?
Also, as someone who was like chronically cast as the old lady in high school plays, I was like, damn, I know how that feels.
I love when she's like,
listen,
the exact role I wanted.
It's so good.
Listen, let's put on a really cool high school show together because like Ellie, you'll get cast as the lead, obviously. Hannah, you can be her mom.
Stop.
And I'll be the little brother.
Yes,
and like together,
little brother,
we're a full
I
cast. Do you think I did not actually play a little brother in
No, I wouldn't be surprised by that.
You know who I played is what's his name? What's Tom Sawyer's little brother? No, and you know what's so funny? Sorry, we're like derailed,
no,
but I'm gonna do it anyways. So I got cast in middle school as I think Sid might be his name. I don't know. Tom Sawyer's little brother or something. And I had to kiss on the cheek the girl who did get cast as our mother. And I feel like it was like my first like unknowing gay panic where I was like, I have to kiss a girl on the cheek who I like am not super close with. Like it wasn't someone that, and it was, I don't think I like had a crush on her, but I feel like something in my body was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Like, why does this feel like a bigger thing to me than anybody else seems to feel like this is?
Yes.
So anyways, we just went down that fun trip down memory lane.
I have another thing similar to that, which was,
oh my god, please.
Oh my
please.
God. Okay, so side note, I was like bad at acting. I'm still bad at acting, but I'm a good singer. So I would fall into really particular situations. And I was in this middle school production. This was so fucking horrible. I was in this middle school production of Guys and Dolls. But of course, you know that
how
there's
do you
like
do that in middle school?
You cast girls in like every male part.
Oh like, my God.
So I was ensemble guy. So I was like in a suit and a fedora, but I had a I wanted to have a pink streak really bad, but my mom wouldn't let me dye it. So I had a plastic pink hair extension in my low bun as I was dressed as an ensemble guy.
Oh
in
my
grade.
God.
Which is pretty gay.
Yeah, I was literally going to be like, so what's the gayest role you've ever played? And you just,
that's
you know,
it.
You,
wow.
That's it. Uh-huh.
That is it.
And my sister was one of, like, are you familiar with Guys and Dolls? Like, how
yeah,
it's
yeah,
casted?
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course, my sister was like a hotbox girl. And I was like, ensemble guy. It's memorable.
That is amazing. That is amazing.
But did you have to kiss any of them on the cheek, and did it make you feel a certain
way? I didn't have to kiss anyone, but we did do a lot of like coupled dancing where I would do like the guy dancing. So there was something there, but not then. That was not the time or place for me. I was just trying to survive being ensemble guy.
I just remember like panicking. It's like me in like, you know, like probably in like a fucking button down shirt and like overalls, just like having like a minor panic attack on stage.
Oh my god.
Fine. Good times. Good memories. Wow.
I had to kiss a lot of men on stage. I feel like that sucked.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's just so like, hard what? Being the lead in everything, Ellie.
I know. I wasn't gonna say it.
I was Sarah and Guys and Dolls. So I wasn't gonna say it.
Really? Honestly, yeah, yeah. I could see that for you, and I don't mean that as an insult.
It was just so hard being like Sarah and Guys and Dolls, and then I had like to kiss Ebony, Sky Masterson.
I think
it was just really difficult.
Yes.
What'd you say?
I said it was just so hard being like Sarah and Guys and Dolls, and then Ebony.
Guys,
and then,
I actually played Eliza Doolittle.
Oh, you just get no out. I can kick you out of the Zoom call. I'm so sorry.
But
oops, Ellie got disconnected.
But can we talk about, let's talk about the musical as we're on here. I'm so sorry.
Yes. I have a bridge from what we're talking about back to the musical, okay, which is, we're talking about youth theater. My jaw hit the floor with the reveal of Ella being on stage crew. Are you kidding me? I didn't realize. You don't even know. And then it's the shot and it's like her with the headset. I was like, are you serious?
Are you serious?
It was awesome.
True gay.
The entire just like musical in general. Like the theater gays are just like out. Yeah. Like that's it. Like I feel like what is her name? Miss Piccoli? Bigoli?
Miss Bigoli, I think.
I feel like she is, like she has a wife at home.
Oh yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Like, totally. For sure has a wife. And she's like really trying to like make this thing work. I was cracking up when she's like, kids like hit the bar, and they like hit the space bar at the same time. I was like, ahead of your time, honestly.
Yes.
Ahead of your time.
Also, I really want to know from like an audio production side, like why do you need that many computers? Like,
oh, you don't.
Who took the time?
You literally
who
don't.
Took the time to like take a recording of a song and like split it into 30 different tracks so that you need 30 kids to press the space
you
bar
don't.
At the exact
and
same
also,
time? I'm like,
it would not.
Just, you would
up.
Have someone
There's
in
no
the booth
way
just pushing a button. Like, I don't understand.
You only need one kid.
Here's one. But the showmanship of it, like
I love
A+
no,
Miss nailed
a,
it.
Comedic gold, honestly.
Yes.
You have to do it.
Also, a really underrated line of hers, in my opinion, is that when they're like getting ready for the auditions and she's standing up there and she's like, George Bernard Shaw was a great playwright and also a vegetarian. And that's just it.
That's how you know she's gay. Because
that's
she's like,
how
you know.
That's
she's like, shout
know.
Out.
Like, she says that, and then they all just move on. Like, there's no, like, that's just what she had to share about him. And I love that.
She's just like handing out oat milk to kids. Yeah, she's like, try this, everyone.
Yeah, that casting could not have been better. I don't know how she ended up there, but I'm very happy that she did.
It is
incredible.
So good. The hair also is like a straight
it's
up.
So good.
I'm looking at this picture of her when she says, like, students, the bars. And she has like a tiny like bow tie.
I didn't notice.
Oh my God.
Now I'm curious.
Look
now
it. I'll
look
show
it
you.
Up.
But like this outfit.
Yes.
Like,
oh my God. Yeah, it's subtle, but it's
so
there.
Cute.
There. It is there. Like her wife takes her curlers out every night.
Yeah.
Like, where is her? Her wife has to be in the audience somewhere.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit. We've talked about Ella and Lola and their relationship. I want to talk a little bit about the men in this.
I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah, let's yeah. start
Sorry,
with...
Sorry, what men?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
But let's start with Stu. That's his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, can I give you my other... I actually have no clue
who that other guy is.
Oh, you do, though. You do, because... Adam Garcia played the guy in Coyote Ugly, which I'm going to say ties together quite nicely with our Piper Perabo rabbit hole from the DDR Imagine Me and You connection.
Whoa.
No.
It's all coming full circle, gays. It's all coming full circle.
I know
circle.
Stu. I'm saying I have no clue who... Sam? That's that guy's
Sam,
name?
Who the fuck knows or cares? I couldn't even tell you.
It's so bad. The way that they... I know we were going to talk about Stu... But
yeah, go
if
for
I may, the way that they have his ass just show up whenever anything important happens for him to just be like, yeah, and then just stand there like he doesn't need
when
to be there.
Nothing. He does
when
nothing.
Sam. OK, when they do that whole scene with the like weird montage running through like 48 school hallways to get to the cast
yes.
posting.
Yep.
And it's like the four girls, mm-hmm. right? Like tripping over like lunch trays and chairs and like, I don't know, like a
it's
cat that's suddenly in the hallway.
Course.
I don't know what's going on. It was a lot. It went on way too long and it had that like classic Disney like sped up footage, whatever.
Yes.
But they get there and it's like they're clearly like the first four people at school that day and they're the only four people there. And then suddenly Sam just like walks out of a wall to like join the hug. And I was like, sir, where did you even come from?
It's
like, where
so
did
bad.
What fucking quarter did he apparate into to suddenly mm-hmm. be? And you've never even seen him like talk before.
No.
And all of a sudden he's like, group hug. And I'm like, who even are you? Like, where?
Also, the
from
second that she
have
sees
you
the second
come?
She like, first sees him, does everyone remember what the line is when she first sees him?
No, what is it?
She's like, I can't have a boyfriend. I need to focus on my acting career.
Yep.
And I'm like,
just a typical heterosexual reaction to seeing a boy is like, I can't have a boyfriend
for
this
acting.
Reason.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm like,
I have to wash my hair tonight. I can't date a boy.
Yeah. Like it's just like such
normal.
a gay panic move to be like,
also
a boy, my career.
I feel like it was almost meta to me when he walks away and they like do the shot on his butt, but it's like not a particularly good butt
yes.
shot, but it's almost like no. she's like, I should look at him that way because that's how I'm supposed to look at guys.
Yep. Like, and you're like,
well,
no, you don't want to.
No.
Also, wait, also, can we take a hot moment to read into that? Because again, I feel like that's the kind of shot that you'd get of like, a girl's body mm-hmm. in a movie, right? Whereas like with a dude, you'd be like, go up the arms, the
yeah.
chest, the something, the shoulders, the back muscles, not this pasty white dude's non-ass in his corduroy.
How about a man's body?
Because how many movie scenes have you
I
watched?
I know. I'm
like,
just like,
what did we just fucking watch
it.
With like Matthew McConaughey,
it.
Where it's like, I'm changing my shirt
oh, it's always
in my office.
Shirt. It's
always that,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
And because those are at least like body parts where I'm like, sure, I could see girls getting excited about like the strong arms, whatever. But I'm like, it's literally just like flat as a washboard, nothing in corduroy. Like
yep.
what is happening
yep.
in this shot?
Yep.
And I feel like it's again, I'm like projecting this onto her, but she's like, this is how I would check a girl out. So I guess I should be doing the same to this dude, even though like giving me nothing to work with here. And it's just...
Nope.
It's just sad.
And there's also like no personality to speak of either. So it's like, is he just the safest choice? Like, what is the idea?
They
there's
do
nothing
this
there.
So often in 90s and 2000s movies.
Mm-hmm. This, I think,
the
might
man
be our
is
worst
like a
literal one,
piece
Ellie.
Of bread. Like,
yep.
I haven't. Well, I think it's the worst one because they decided to put two men, right? So it's like, okay, one is Stu.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, okay, well, we fleshed out Stu, but mm-hmm. he is highly age inappropriate.
Yes.
So we're yes. gonna work that whole thing out.
Yeah.
So I feel like they literally like retconned him in. Like they wrote the whole movie.
Oh, they were like, totally. We can't have this yeah. grown ass man dating yeah. a 15-year-old. So we like introduced yeah. Sam. But that's why he's the least fleshed out, like, there's afterthought nothing about boy him. I think we've ever had in one of these. It's so bad. And can we also talk about when they do, like, suddenly at the end when she's like, I decided I could have a boyfriend all of a sudden. And you're like, literally when? Like, you've never talked to this kid.
Well,
like,
so she's, what you said about the, about like retconning him in, at the end, she's dancing with Stu and then it literally fades to being Sam. And then I wrote down the line, like, once I opened my heart to him, I thought, now that my career is launched, maybe I could have a boyfriend. And then they kiss.
My career is launched. Okay, also.
But,
like,
but
yes,
not,
you have
okay.
an agent now after playing Eliza Doolittle in the school play.
Yeah, and in this weird adaptation, nonetheless.
Yeah.
There's that, but also, so they suddenly, like, fade it, the fade out Stu and fade in Sam, and they're dancing together. But can we also talk about how they frame it? So that it's Sam, like, facing in, Lola facing him in the center of the screen, and then directly behind her is Ella also dancing with a boy, but you don't see the boy that she's dancing with because he is directly behind Lola. And so it basically just looks like you have, like, Lola dancing with Sam, but also, like, being, like, big spooned from behind by Ella. And I'm just like, who did this? Who is responsible for this? This shot in this movie, like, you knew what you were doing.
Yeah, it's bad. There's, like, zero chemistry. He is not a human. Like, he is a paper bag.
There's one line, me and my sister noticed this when we did the episode on this, like, the one piece of information you get on him, I guess there's two. One of them is that he's like, I like cars. And then the other one is when he's like, or when Ella's like, Sam's never been to a school function ever, and he's going to come see you in this show. And it's like, what do these two pieces of information mean together? Like, I don't know.
Like, nothing. They literally and mean nothing. Yeah.
You don't even see him at the show. No. Like, he's not even there. He's not a part of the he's not a part of the story at
also,
all. He does not matter.
How are you going to tell me? Okay, maybe I'm stereotyping, but, like, how are you going to tell me that the same person who, like, loves cars and, like, doesn't show up to school will also, like, sit in the back of the auditorium and, like, weep over your, like, random audition that you're, like, not even prepared for
God.
With the beam of light and his
with,
teary
like, serial
eyes.
Serial killer lighting on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So weird. So weird.
So weird.
But funny.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
But yeah, we spend much more time on Stu. I feel like we just need to dive into, because I really feel like it is like this huge metaphor for like the fantasy, this fantasy that she has of men.
He's sensitive. He's caring. He's the most beautiful poet since Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. And then, like, she meets him and the fantasy is, like, completely destroyed.
Yeah.
So it's, like, fantasy of men and, like, reality.
Yes.
Can we talk about whether there's anything gayer for a movie to do than to be, like, the fantasy man, the unattainable peak goal of, like, love interest, and then immediately toss him in the garbage? Like, literally be, like, this man is in a
garbage.
Pile of trash. Like, look at this garbage dude. And you're just, like... Yeah, really, like, pushing the heterosexual agenda here, Disney. Like, nailed it.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing our work for us, is all I'm saying, okay? He's the worst. He's terrible. The hair is bad. The outfits are bad. I don't know if the dude just doesn't know how to act drunk or, like, what was going on in the beginning. But I was like, why is he talking like this? Like... What's happening?
Also,
when they take him to the diner, it's something weird is going on.
I also love, similarly to what you're saying about like the illusion being shattered, like he sucks, all these things. And then also, why is he getting like psychologically rehabilitated by a 15-year-old?
Yes. Like it literally makes no sense. Yeah. I'm like, this is serious, but
yeah.
If anyone has had any alcoholics in their family, like this is not you're also like very like paint, and of course it's a Disney film, but it's like you're painting a very like weird brush over it of like, oh, everyone close to him has said things to him for years, and yet this one random 15-year-old calls him a drunk and he becomes sober.
Yeah.
Like, well, magic.
And it's also it's like, why would it be that like a pretty 15-year-old girl would make such a big impact? Like, you know, it's just icky.
It doesn't.
Listen,
none of it.
Listen, I was literally just thinking, so I'm like, okay, especially this week where like everybody's losing their fucking minds over like kids seeing drag queens. And you're like, okay, like, is that grooming kids, or is it maybe a bad idea to make a Disney Channel or like a Disney movie that is encouraging the idea that it is normal and healthy for a 15-year-old girl to like have an a super weird close relationship with a grown ass drunk man that she met one night? And you're just like, you want to know how kids get groomed, dude? It's because you tell them shit like this is okay, and then they don't question it, and then they're like, yeah, this 30-year-old singer from my favorite band wants to hang out with me at his place, and they're like, that's okay, because I saw it in a Disney movie, and if Lindsay Lohan can do it, it's okay.
And you're like, Xenon.
Yeah, literally. Were they
young?
Literally.
Were they? Was that boy band younger? I don't think so.
You know, they're always kind of they don't officially age him anywhere. But you're like, okay, well, you're clearly drinking, and no one seems to make a thing of it. So it's like you're at obviously least not age appropriate. Like,
yeah. Also, if he has this like body of work, how young could he be? Because apparently there's quite a body of work. So,
who knows? it's weird. Also, it's a weird message to be promoting to young children, like young teenage girls. Like, not the best, actually.
And the way they like shoehorn in her dad, like being there.
Oh yeah.
It's like, okay, so it's okay because the dad is there. Because
the dad's been stalking her all night.
But he really likes the dad's dog. He's a wholesome guy. You're like, no.
Yeah, right. But
it's not good.
To bring up the gay shit once again, let's just think about the fact that they get into the party and it's just Ella and Lola, and it's ladies' night playing in the background.
Yes.
Like, they're having a great time, just them.
And well, not at first, because they literally can't have any fun until they like focus, like hash out their relationship issues.
Right.
Ella isn't even gonna go to the party.
Yeah.
Right? She's like, the guy of my dreams. I'm so in love with Steve. My man Steve. And then she's like, I think I'm just gonna go home because you lied to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, a totally normal reaction from a very straight person who is definitely not overly invested in the relationship between the two of you.
Yeah.
They like, they have to hash out all of their stuff, and then like literally as soon as they finally like work through their shit, they're like, we can have fun now. Like, now we can rock out with guitars.
Now we can
have a good time.
And it is like, their relationship is the most wholesome of the entire film and the most meaningful. And they really work through some shit.
Yeah.
Because Lola, you know, Lola lied to her and Ella did not take it.
No.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
Ella's the only good role model in this freaking movie, honestly.
Yeah. She didn't take it, but also she forgave her pretty fast.
Yeah.
I wrote down.
Well, listen, your first girlfriend, you make mistakes.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Just Lola is like really manipulative.
Yeah, she is. Like, she's terrible.
It's truly her universe, and everyone else is just orbiting around her, which is why it's fun to watch. But it's also like, damn, seems hard to interact with her.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like, her and Ella are gonna have some shits when they're like really you know, when they're really trying to make
it work. I mean, listen, their relationship's not going to survive college, but I love them. Uh-huh. And I feel like Ella's going to find someone who's like a little bit more down to earth.
And then she's going to tell
everyone about her first love. And they'll be super dramatic together. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see that.
Let's talk a little bit about Carla before we wrap up. Mm-hmm. Which is, I know you said you think she's closeted, but I also feel like it's like we have recurring themes in our Should Have Been Gays. We've done 87 of them. We see them, right? A lot of them hit in this one, right? Boring ass man, best friends were in love with each other, enemies to lovers kind of vibe. And I feel like this is a very much enemies to lovers because we have like, they're like constantly like in each other's faces. Carla cares mm-hmm. way too much about Lola. And in that final scene, she falls into the fountain and then she reaches her hand out and she's like, it's just a hand. And they have this like really intense
moment.
It's really
none of the comments I'm thinking of are appropriate for me to say about these girls
about
who are supposed
teenagers.
To be 15
yeah,
in
yeah,
this
yeah.
movie.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe don't. Maybe don't. Mm-hmm. But
honestly, how
moments.
Old was Megan Fox when they filmed this? Like 16, 17?
She looks
She could
young.
Not have been that old. She
yeah.
looks so
does
young.
Look young.
She sounds so young.
Yeah. Yeah, when was this? Okay, so this was in...
This was 2004. Yeah. I think Megan Fox is my age, so she must have been like 16, 17 when they filmed it. Yeah.
Yeah, she was a baby in this. But I mean, do you want to do a lesbian rabbit hole for Megan Fox? Because we all know where that one goes.
Do you like how I didn't even bother? I'm like, yeah, I feel like it's just, it's Megan Fox. It explains itself. But sorry, so we were saying it's just a hand. Got it. Yes.
It's just a hand. And then they have like... A long, they're staring at each other for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like the love of her life, Stu is there, but she's staring into Carla's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they're smiling.
Listen, sometimes I can't do this.
Sometimes
you're
the hands, just a hand.
Sometimes you're just all wet, and the open lesbian at your school is just telling you it's just a hand, and it takes a minute. You know, you just gotta like process the situation, make sense of it all.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
It's bad. Wait, did you say 2002?
2004.
Mm-hmm.
She was 18, but she does look like a baby.
Yeah.
Well, probably not. She can't have been 18 when they filmed it, though.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right.
When it came out. When was she born? 86
Six.
Then? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's a year old. Okay. Yeah. I was off by a year. My bad. I thought she was my age.
Before we wrap up, Hannah, what are mm-hmm. some of your other like super gay moments or just like gay thoughts on the film?
Okay. Well, I guess that I just feel like for me with the thing that I can't help but do, which is like center it around Ella, is that I just yes, Lola is super gay, but to me, I kind of feel like she loves the attention from Ella, but doesn't want to like acknowledge that it's so gay necessarily, because then she has to like do something about it, you know?
She'd have to explain a little more to her parents, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like there's a version of this story where it's like Lola comes in and changes her life, but then like breaks her heart and with everything that happens in the end, like maybe the just a hand to Carla, like think about that. It was in front of Ella. Like, you don't know. There's just a lot with a protagonist being this much of like, she's fierce, but she's a narcissist. It's like, it's just like, there's a lot of heartbreak that could happen along the way. And I just project that onto it. I don't know why, but that's just, what I wring
it
from
is
it.
Like it is a
That's
poor
valid.
It is a poor Ella story.
Yeah,
but
totally.
I feel like you're right. This is Ella's gay awakening, and so it's really like the sequel to this is like Ella being like, you know what? That I mean, to be fair, I feel like that's happened to a lot of queer girls where they're like, wow, I was in love with my best friend, and like she took advantage of that, and like looking back, you're like, oh. That was, she just liked the attention from me used that
exactly.
to her advantage. But it was also an awakening for me. So like, cool.
Right.
Like, I can use this to discover more about myself.
Yeah. I wrote down, I think I deleted it on accident, but I wrote down, Lola seems like the type of girl you would have a crush on and get decimated by it in the end. Especially as like
so
a teenager.
Real.
You know?
Yep.
Like, she's that confident,
so
but, like,
real.
Are you going to be real with each other? I don't know. So I guess that is like my that's my one of my central gay thoughts about the whole thing. But I think also just the fact that the men could be totally cut from it and there would basically be no difference. That's also a pretty good case. So also, have you guys seen Aquamarine?
I think I saw it. I did. It's on our list. It's definitely on our Should Have Been Gay list.
Okay.
I saw it a long time ago.
There are some extreme parallels in the best friendship situation. But it's JoJo and Emma Roberts, which is like a great combination. So just
and isn't what's her name?
I'm dropping like, my AirPods.
Aquamarine is the one where they find a mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And then they like have her in the tub.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I remember it, but I haven't seen it in a long time.
It's one of my faves. It's so good. It'll be a really good Should Have Been Gay when it happens.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm excited.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
Disney really gives us some good shit. I'm like,
I mean, yeah. Listen, Disney, what are you doing? They make the gayest movies. It's not my fault. I have one last note that I think is the only thing I wrote down that we didn't cover, which is just when they're trying to... when Lola's like dead set on going to the concert and the party, and Ella keeps being like, maybe this isn't going to happen, right? And there's just one line where Lola goes, "We have to go. It's a matter of pride." And I was like, very into pride, which like very timely very for when we're pride. Doing this.
Very
like A
pride.
Plus work, Lola. But okay, that's my last one. That's
Lola and Ella would be hilarious at a pride parade. Like they're gonna go to New York Pride after this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in the whatever sequel exists in this universe. Like yeah. Lola
would find a way to like steal somebody's motorcycle for like Dykes on Bikes. She's never driven a motorcycle. They're just like
get on.
They're just flailing their way driving. Around the street. Yeah, yeah. Like it'd be great. It'd be great.
Yes.
Okay. Any last thoughts before we do ships, Ellie, from you?
No, I mean, it's just clear. It's so clear that Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen should have been gay. It's just
should
so clear.
Yep.
Should have been
totally
gay.
Agreed.
It's, okay.
There's no dispute.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we shipping?
Oh my gosh.
Who are we shipping, Hannah? Who's your ship in this?
Okay. So I've listened to a few of the should have been gay episodes, and I know we do the ship names. So obviously, I'm a Lella supporter.
Oh, I like Lella. It.
Yeah. Also, Lella. There's a lot of good ship names in the stew here if you think about it. So, what about you guys?
I'm here for Lella.
I'm here for Lella too, but I will say also, like, I guess the same thing if you do it with Carla is Larla.
So good. It's so
you,
good.
Like, yes, either other way, otherwise, it's just Lola.
Yes.
Larla.
Or Cola.
What about for when? Oh, Cola, that's so good. I'm sorry. that took a minute to land right in my brain. What about if we assume that like someday when Lola like, you know, gets tired and like skips town without telling Ella and then like ghosts her and Carla and Ella find each other?
Mm-hmm.
What do we got?
There's so many laws.
There's a lot of laws. That's what I'm saying.
Carlella?
Carlella.
It's pretty good.
Kind of sounds like Carmilla, which like I'll give it the gay factor.
Also, I'll throw like a wrench into it, even though I completely like think this age inappropriate thing is a mess. If you turn Stu into a like super hardcore like lesbian band, like she's like, oh, yes. Like I've loved, like, I don't even know, like, I feel like it'd be like Evanescence or some shit. Like, that's like Stu. I love Evanescence forever.
That's and so then it good. Would be,
so I don't know what Stu's name would be in that new band, but like, if it was like they both bonded over loving this like super queer band, and that was the whole thing. Like the whole story was them finding this like woman, and then that woman ended up disappointing them, and that's okay. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that would have been, especially when they both say hi at the beginning, it would have been even more meaningful.
Yeah,
because they're like, wait, we both like Brandi Carlile.
right.
It's the 2004 equivalent of, do you listen to Girl in Red?
I feel like there's a lot more out musicians now too, where I'm like Tegan and Sarah.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
Or like, and they're like, we have to find, and like each of them, like one of them's like, oh, I'm team T, and then the other one's like, oh, I like Sarah. And so then they both like have their person that they like in this.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But they literally look exactly the same. But yeah, so I don't know what the ship name would be for that, but I just thought of that of like, I think that'd be an interesting twist.
I agree.
And then it really like that whole night is actually like they're like, they just went into New York City and like they spend the whole night at a gay party because yes. they yes. both love this super gay yes. musician. Like, so it's really
incredible.
Like
incredible
baby's first night in like really like living it up together in a yeah. queer world.
And then they both finally feel like safe to be their true selves and they like mm-hmm. have their first kiss at this little New York party. Ugh, I love it. Stop it. Someone write it for
what
us.
Could have been?
What could have been? Yeah, because like what little like queer baby has not gone to like a queer concert and then been like
yeah.
Or like you go with your girlfriends and it's like we're all gay here. Oh, I love those.
yeah.
I love those. Love those concerts. Mm-hmm. I have this band. This is a super deep cut. Have either of you heard of Antigone Rising?
Yes.
Mm-mm.
You have?
Yeah.
Lee, did I tell you about them? Or you already knew about them?
I don't think you told me about
this
them.
This is so random, but when I interned at a PR company in New York, like mm-hmm. my senior year of college, we did PR for like independent musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing the social media for a bunch of places and I was like, well, let me listen to the musicians we're repping. And so I listened to a bunch of them. And one of the first ones I listened to was Antigone Rising. And I start listening to them. They're an all-female country band. And I'm like country rock band. I start listening. I'm like, oh, I like this. Then I start digging in more and I'm like, they're lesbians. They're all gay.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wow, I really love this. And so I dove so hard into their music. And then every time they had a concert, I would go to the Antigone Rising concert. And like those were like the gayest concerts I've ever
That's
gone
so
to.
Because cool.
it's like a very tiny, like a small bar. Like if you like Antigone Rising, like you're probably gay. Like
yeah.
Rather than like even some of the bigger musicians. Like if you went to like a Kehlani concert or something, like not mm-hmm. everyone there is gonna be gay.
Yeah.
But like you're just like in this tiny dive bar with like all these lesbians.
I don't think you've told me about them, Ellie, because now I'm trying to figure out like why does the name ring such a bell? And I'm literally just like Googling them and like I know some of these album covers. Like
maybe you listen to them. I mean they're a good lesbian bar.
Yeah.
Like they're really good.
I feel like it must be, but it's just been like
you should
while.
Listen to them. They have like really good harmonies, which I really appreciate.
That's my
like
favorite.
So like vocally, they're like I was like they're like the chicks are still queer, but like they're like a queer chicks.
Mhm.
Like the chicks are queer adjacent, I feel.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah.
But they're definitely God, I love them. But yeah, like that vibe is so good. Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's just making me like so nostalgic. And then sometimes I would bring my mom and my aunt to go see them. Like, I've seen them, like, 6 times.
That's awesome.
I saw them, yeah, I live in Boston now, and I saw them when they were at City Winery in Boston, like.
Nice.
That I kind don't know, of, there's certain, yeah.
This is just a side tangent, but I was thinking about this earlier today, speaking of Tegan and Sarah. A long time ago, I went to a tour that was Paramore with Tegan and Sarah.
Oh my god.
It was awesome, but it was also the weirdest mix because it was like young emos and lesbians, like young emo girls and lesbians, which was like amazing, but also just like a very strange mix. And I was in high school at the time. And I remember being like, there's a lot of elements going on here, but like it's sweet, but also like what a pairing, truly.
That is amazing. Can you imagine being a young emo lesbian at that concert? Like,
yeah.
It's like that
it was powerful.
I think the weirdest concert like pairing that I ever went to, and I can't remember who it was too, because it was like some rapper and the Blue Man Group was like a legit,
doesn't matter what rapper, like literally doesn't concert. Matter what rapper.
No,
that's still
I can't remember who it was. It was like the weirdest fucking lineup of artists. It was like some like, it wasn't like quite like a full like music festival because there weren't like enough, but it was like a weird mix at this concert that I went to either like in high school or just out of high school. And then our car broke down on the way home. It was a weird night. Anyways.
Yeah.
Sorry. We're going to get back on track.
Yeah, let's
now.
Get back. It's time for our Q&A. Are we ready?
Yes. Yes.
Q and gay.
All right. Question number one for you, mm-hmm. Hannah.
Okay.
Who is gayer? A, Lola. B, Ella. C, Carla. Or D, Miss Bagoli?
I'm going to say, controversially, I'm going to say Miss Bagoli in her level of mystery, but the level of impression that she makes on her students.
Yep. So
I think she's the gayest.
She really
Fair
is.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Question two. Have you ever lied to look cooler than you are? Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely.
You don't have to tell us the lie unless there's like a good one that comes to mind. But, you know, we just want to keep people honest.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you a one sentence summary, which is just that I moved in first grade. And when I was in Boston for 1 year and I just lied about my entire life and then we moved away. So I never got caught.
So you literally were this.
Yep.
But incredible. In first grade. Incredible. Uh-huh.
Fresh start. Do what
yeah,
you gotta do.
Yeah, it was great.
Yep. I lie about dumb things. It doesn't actually make me look cooler. I don't know why. You will know that it's a lie, but I always tell people that my mom had me on a leash. Like, I was one of the leash babies. Whenever I see a kid on a leash, I'm like, did you know my mom had me on a leash? And everyone's like, she totally would. Like, you would totally be that. I'm like, I'm lying. It's not real. It's like the dumbest. I don't know why. Like, I just want to see if people will think I was a leash baby, and they always do.
I'm gonna send you for Christmas this year, Ellie, like one of those little toddler backpacks with the leash
yes.
on it.
Yeah.
We'll let Jana take you on walks. It'll be great.
I know. They were like, I was not that. I was a little crazy of a kid, but I was not like I would not get lost. Like my brother would be like, he definitely needed a backpack. It's okay. All right. Question number three. What's Lola's most insane outfit? A, first day of school, boho chic. B, the mm-hmm. basketball jersey. C, the Maryland outfit. D, snapback cargo pants.
It's got to be snapback cargo pants.
It was a look. It was a vibe.
It was awesome. I mean, I don't think any of them even looked a little bit bad. She looked amazing the entire time because she can carry off anything. But I think that one lived in my mind the most potently. And
fair
continues
enough,
to.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. To this day. Yep. Fair. Mm-hmm. Question four. Who was your boy band beard crush out of A, NSYNC, B, Backstreet Boys, C, One Direction, or D, Jonas Brothers?
Well, the truth is I never had one. I know. Well, that's not that fun.
That's okay.
No, that's great.
You can just pick from the options. That's
yeah.
Okay.
Who's your favorite boy band? Did you like any of those boy bands?
No. Like, I didn't. But I kind of missed the boat. I was kind of in between like the NSYNC era. And the One Direction was like when I was in high school. But I wasn't into it. I was more, okay, I'm literally wearing this shirt, so that's stupid. But I was like an emo boy, like an emo boy lover. Like Gerard Way. It's like Gerard Way and Hayley Williams always.
Okay, yeah. That's also. We should add. You got to add that.
Yeah.
That's not really a boy band, but.
You know.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You get to write in options when you're on the show.
Thank you.
For me, it was the Jonas Brothers, and I literally chased their bus.
Really?
I went to a concert, and we waited. I swear to God, you get. I think scientifically the hormones make you crazy, like being around that many like young hormonal teenagers.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Like I swear to God, we're at the concert. We go like out and wait in the like everyone started waiting for the bus to come, right? So we're all like just getting ready. And the bus came and everyone starts screaming. Like we were like,
oh my
feral.
God.
And then the bus starts driving and the girls around me start running and I was like, we have to run. So I started running and I feel like I had this voice in the back of my head that was like, why are you running? But I couldn't stop. I remember it so vividly because there was this thing being like, Ellie, what are you doing? And my body was like, go. It was crazy. But I did freak out when I saw Nick. I was like, Nick,
was he your favorite?
Incredible.
No, Joe was my favorite, but I have a sister. So we
I know
always,
where this is going already.
Like, it was like she chose Nick. And so it was like, well, I guess I have to be Joe.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
And then you had, I don't know why I'm feeling.
Yeah, because clearly you were so invested.
Yeah, feel right. so strongly about this. And then there were the people who were like, well, I like Kevin because I want to be unique. And like, I love Kevin because no one loves Kevin except for me. And then I'm like, but because you said that, now everyone else also does like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like everyone else is the same as you liking Kevin.
Yes.
But it's okay. What is wrong with me? That was my high school, was the Jonas Brothers. That was intense. And Miley Cyrus. So those two together, that was like my kryptonite.
Yes.
All right. Question number five. Who were you in your high school theater production? A, lead, B, ensemble, C, young boy, or D, stage manager?
I was majority B with a one-time splash of A.
Hannah, thank you so much for coming and talking with us about this batshit gay film.
You know, it truly was a joy from start to finish. I'm so happy to have shared this moment with both of you. I love this movie, and it is batshit and very gay. And I'm glad that I encountered it when I did, because it was a childhood classic for me and for the better, in my opinion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you have your own podcast. So where can people find your show, and where can they also find you on social media?
Yes. Okay. So the show that I co-host is called Sleepover Cinema. And you can find it like anywhere you listen to podcasts, but our social media handles are at Sleepover Cinema, and our TikTok is weirdly well followed, interestingly, because my sister puts a lot of effort into making the TikTok.
Nice.
So
nice.
That might
nice.
Be a good place if you're a TikTok person to check it out. And then I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Hannah Rae Leach. And I have a band. If you want to check out our music, you can go to we're called the Prom Queens, and you can go to voteforthepromqueens.com. But it's four, like the number four.
Well, of course.
Exactly. And you can find all the social media and stuff from there. But thanks so much for having me again. This was amazing.
Thank you.
Let me hear you say, hip, 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 we're gay.
We love hearing from you and building community, so we want to shout out some of our favorite things each episode. And I would like to shout out Emma, who reached out to us on Instagram and said, I would like to share the gayest little woman quote directly from the novel. Thank you for this, Emma. Leading up to this quote, Joe tells the professor that despite loving each other, they should still live on separate coasts. And if it's God's will for them to be together, it will happen. Then she initiates a kiss and literally stoops down. And the quote is, "It was dreadful." Dreadful. Me too, Joe. Me too. So thank you, Emma, for that.
I don't know why. I was like ready for so many things to come after that slight pause, and dreadful was not one of them, but that's incredible.
Yep. We know that Joe Marsh is a lesbian icon, and that just confirms it even more.
Canon lesbian. We also want to shout out everybody who participated in Spirit Week last week. We had an absolute blast. We always love seeing everyone's photos, and it just makes us happy and it makes us feel a little more connected. So thank you so much to everyone who posted, tagged us, sent us photos, or like dropped them in our Discord. It brings us some gay joy, and
we loved
it.
As always, I want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Jess Klaus,
Tanya Ferguson,
Jacqueline Rose Nishino,
Sarah and Julia,
Danny Gunlock Tamora,
Brittany Ray,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
Stacy,
Adi Benitez,
Fiona W,
Whitney Lennon,
Jennifer Trujillo,
and our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Liz Chen,
Julia Gonzalez,
and Ashley White. Thank you all so much for your continued support. We really could not make the show without you, and we are so excited that we're going to start releasing bonus Patreon episodes next season for all of you.
Remember, you can also find us on all social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
Or you can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
And if you haven't listened to all the episodes of The Flame yet, make sure that you check them out. They are all available, and we are gearing up for our live show in New York on September 15th. So, you know, make sure you've got all those songs just bouncing around your head.
We also are posting little video clips of our episodes on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/letshangoutpod to catch them.
If you want to help support the podcast, there are so many ways that you can do that. The first is you can leave us a rating and a review on the Apple Podcasts app. It helps new people find the show.
If you want to support us and join our Patreon family, you can do that at bit.ly/lespatreon. We have our patron-only Discord chat where we all hang out and talk. We have Les Essentials watch parties. And this upcoming season, we are going to start releasing monthly Patreon bonus episodes where we talk about some of our favorite or maybe not so favorite lesbian films that we don't get to cover, on Les Essentials because they're maybe a little older, they might be a little bit more problematic, but we still have feelings about them. So that's going to be on our Patreon at bit.ly/lespatreon.
We also, if you want to help support us making podcast musicals, we have a Patreon just for that. You can find it at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon. It will help support our production company in making our next show and also will help us do things like getting The Flame on stage and other, who knows what other things we might be working on. So make sure you check that out if you like our musicals, you know.
If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, you can do that at bit.ly/lesshop. We have all kinds of designs for every season of your queer life. You can get that at bit.ly/lesshop.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
And you can find me at Ellie Rigida on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.